It is time for the Positive Chats Podcast. I'm your host, Tommy Briggs, and joining me this morning on the Positive Chats Podcast is Peter Mutabazi. He is the author of the book, Now I Am Known, How a Street Kid Turned Foster Dad Found Acceptance and True Worth. Peter, welcome to the Wake Up Call Morning Show.
Well, thank you for having me here. A joy to be with you.
It's great to be with you, and yours is a really inspiring story. So I'm just going to ask you to share how you came from being living on the streets of Kampala, Uganda, to now founding your own corporation, Now I Am Known, that supplies resources to help and encourage and affirm children. It was quite a journey from where you were to where you are. Tell us a little bit about your story and how you got to this point.
You know, well, I grew up in Uganda, poor of the poorest. I didn't have a name until when I was 2 years old. Reasons were because for every 100 children were born, 100 would die before the age of two. So my mom was afraid, you know, if she gave me a name, that probably I would not make it. But I made it at two, and she named me a gift given to me by God. So that's a little background that, you know, think about, like, if a mother can't feed you for a day, you know, how does she tell you to dream? How does she tell you there's a future for you? Mm. You know, I grew up in a place where I had to go fetch water, you know, miles and miles away. I'd come home on an empty stomach, go to bed with no food. You know, my family could not afford $5. I mean, $5 to send me to school. They could not afford it. Never had a pair of shoes until when I was 16 years old. You know, so life was just miserable. Not just me, but everyone around us, you know, that it wasn't just my family. But everyone around was poor, so there wasn't anything to look up and say, maybe I would like to be like somebody, you know? No. And then at the age of four, you know, I began to realize that not only were we poor, but my father was abusive as well. So on one side, I had poverty that could take my life. And then on the other side, I had my own father that was likely to take my life. So for me, dreaming wasn't part of my journey. You know, dreaming or hoping for better wasn't part of what I grew up in. I always grew up thinking, I wish my life ended today so I don't have to see tomorrow, because what happened today was going to repeat 10 times more the next day, the next week, the next year. And so for me, I didn't really want to dream, you know. And then, you know, at the age of, you know, 10, I thought, I don't know, as you grow older, you kind of abuse gets worse and worse. And I thought my father was going to kill me. So I went to the bus station and I asked the lady, hey, of all these buses, which one goes the farthest? And me asking wasn't like I was looking for a better future or a better place to go. To me, it was more like, if I die, I better die in the hands of a stranger than my own father. Mm. So that was my only instance of wanting to run away. So I got on that bus. I'd never been 20 miles away. And I ran away and became a street kid. You know, so I ended up 500 kilometers away and became a street kid for 5 years, where life was miserable, 100 times abused than what was at home. But at least there was a difference. These were strangers. These people did not know me. So they could treat me the way they wanted. So they treated me more like a stray animal. I mean, I looked like one. I smelled like one. I ate from the garbage. I slept in the sewer canal. You know, I was just more treated like I wasn't a human. And I believed that. You know, I had grown up from a family where the kindest words, never had one kind word for my dad. You know, all I had was, you never amount to anything. You're nobody. You're worthless. I wish you were never born so I don't have to feed you. So the same on the streets, your garbage. So you sometimes, you know, when you hear that kind of things, you kind of believe in them. You believe, well, maybe I'm useless. And that really became my life for 5 years as a street kid in Kampala.
So what changed that around? I know there was an encounter you had with someone that where God kind of intervened in your life.
Yes, you know, which was amazing. So as three kids, we always, you know, stole food while we were helping. It was just easier that way. But people used us. So we thought, if you use me, I'll take a few bananas I need, you know. So I saw this man buying food. I followed him. So I was trying to steal from him. And before I could take anything from him, he asked me, hey, what's your name? You know, I had lived on the streets for 4.5 years. No one had ever asked me what my name was. So him asking me my name just really rattled me. Like, wait a minute, you want to know me? You know, a good-for-nothing thief boy, you want to know me? And also, as street kids, any kindness meant danger. You know, the same people were kind were also abusive. So being kind did mean I was warm to him in any way, shape, form. You know, I just ran away. I saw him the next week. The foster care kind of knew what he buys when he comes, and I was always assured there's a meal for me on Monday between 5 and 7. Mm. And, you know, he fed me for 1.5 years, and one day he said, "Hey, Peter, if you had an opportunity to go to school, would you love to go to school?" I was like, "Well, don't you see? I mean, I'm a street kid. I was, you know, I was told I would never amount to anything. Why would I want to go to school?" But he insisted. He said, "If you go to school, there'll be food." That's all I had, food. If there's food, I will go. You know, of course, I went for food, and little did I know that I would love school, and I'll meet teachers who would say words of affirmation that encouraged me to begin dreaming, because I had never dreamt. You know, all for me was food, and that's what kept me at school, because I waited for the next meal. And then I figured, wait a minute. He bought me shoes for the first time. Maybe I should wear these shoes so I can get food. Maybe I should attend a class so I can get food. Maybe I should not hit this guy because I might miss my food. And that really helped me to begin seeing more of me. And he invited me in his home as well. So now I saw what our family looked like. I saw what our father looks like. So I finished high school in Uganda. I went to university in Uganda. Then I got a scholarship to go study in England. And that's how I came to the United States, you know, through the kindness of a stranger that changed my life. And not just my life, my entire family as well. You know, I'm the oldest of five, but they have all gone through university. Not because they could do it, but I knew it was the thing I can do for them. I knew no one can take that education away from them. But also I became an example. I think in their eyes, they were more like, if Peter can do it, we can do it as well. And that really changed my life and their lives, you know, through the kindness of just one stranger.
And you've used that to pass that on to others, as you're a father now, a single father and a foster dad, and you have started the group Now I Am Known, and the corporation Now I'm Known. Tell us about Now I Am Known and what you guys do and how you seek to help children all over the place.
Yeah, when I came to the United States, I think I struggled seeing how much food was thrown away, you know. And I was like, God, you love me the same way as you love these Americans. Like, some people are dying for no food, but these people have extra food. And I think I was convicted as well, you know, that I had been given so much. You know, too much is given, much is required. I knew I wanted to be accountable for what I, you know, blessed me with. And I thought, well, you know, I need to help others. And that's how I came to know about foster care. And I felt like I know them because I had been there. Mm-hmm. As a kid who went through abuse all my life, I knew I can make a difference because someone had made a difference in my life. But also I knew it was my responsibility, you know, in my community to truly change the lives of those, because someone had done that for me, that I wanted to do the same for our kids here. They didn't choose to be born, you know, in homes where they are. You know, neither was I chosen to be born in the home I was, but somehow he still cared for me. He didn't look at me. There were more than 1,000 kids on the streets of Kampala. But he didn't say, I cannot do anything. You know, he said, I can do one, and that one happened to be me. And that's my attitude towards our kids in the foster care, that I really want to help. If I can inspire a single male or a single girl or a family, you know, to change on how we view our kids in the foster care, to step up and help. You know, I'm a foster parent. You know, I know it's a calling. Not all can be foster parents, but we can all do something small to really change the lives of a kid. I believe in that saying for Africans, you know, it takes a village to raise a child. But I think here in the United States as well, that it takes a village. We all come alongside with the resources we have, and we change the life. And that's what I'm known about. You know, and that's why I wrote my book as well, because I wanted people to know, don't let the past rob your future. Use your past as leverage, as a foundation to do better for yourself and for others as well. And I wanted my kids to understand that. I've had 28 kids. I have 5 right now. But I wanted them to know that, yes, we love our dad, but dad too had to go through a difficult childhood, but he survived. So can I survive as well? And that's why I really wanted to encourage others as well, that we can use the past, like David said, you know, for what you meant for evil, God has used his good to save lives. And that is my mission, to really help others, especially our foster kids, you know, that we can give them a little glimpse of hope so they can know they are known. And that's why the title is Now I'm Known. I wasn't known. I was just a garbage boy, but he made me known. No one knew my name, but he called me by my name. Mm-hmm. I didn't have a hope or future, but he showed that to me, you know, and I want to do the same for others, make them known to know that their names are known, that what they go through, they're not alone, and we're here to truly come alongside them and love on them. It's the least we can do.
And Peter, you talk about your past and how we can use that to move forward in good directions. Of course, we know a lot of people who went through what you went through would have turned out very differently, would have become that person that harms other people and acts out of their hurt and their anger to harm others. You went a different direction, you know, and certainly I know God was a big part of that, but how do we do that so we don't take our hurt from the past and then project that hurt onto others and instead transform that so that we're doing good to others?
You know, I think for me, I wanted to, one, embrace my past. Like, I knew I had a past, but I had to embrace, get to know why, and get to learn on how I can overcome that. But also my dad, he wished the worst for me. So for me, failing was really giving him the opportunity that he wished me to be, you know, and I didn't want to give him that. And, you know, we cannot change the past, but we can change our future. That's something I've learned. But yes, we've all gone through a difficult time, but it will rob our future. We have so much to give, so much to learn, so much love, and so much opportunities for us. But the past is going to take that away from us. I'm choosing to say, I'm not going to deny my past. I'm going to learn what it is, how I got there, but use it as a foundation to do better for yourself. And I think in a way, you'd be able to help others. Empathy, we get to learn empathy because of us who've walked through that are able to help others who still struggle with that. So finding ways in small ways that you can use your past to change your life for someone else, but it has to start with you. You know, if you can begin with you and say, I'm not going to keep letting those baggage just drain my future, but how can I embrace them and find ways on how I can see the future? For me, I took one step at a time, you know. It's taken me years to get where I am, but every opportunity I counted it as a blessing, but also that I'd overcome my past. It still shows up sometimes, you know, but I've learned how to not make sure that it doesn't drain me or take what I'm capable of doing or believe in the lies of what my past tells me, but to truly say, no, God saved me. No, I have families and friends that believe in me, and I'm going to stick with that. And I think we overcome, you know, one day at a time, one step at a time, and rejoicing in one step, you know, and that's really what helps me. You know, I had so much to overcome, but for me, I would start with just a small thing. I had a pair of shoes. I was like, oh, this is really cool. I had never had words of affirmation. I began to hear them and learn what that meant. And that really helped me to begin believing myself. But if someone could see a street kid and think I have the best or I had potential, I began to believe that. If this stranger knows I have potential, then I must have potential. And that really helped me to excel in school.
We're talking with Peter Mutabazi. He's the author of the book, along with Mark Tabb, Now I Am Known, How a Street Kid Turned Foster Dad Found Acceptance and True Worth. It's a remarkable story, and now runs Now I Am Known. Tell folks about Now I Am Known and where they can go to find out more information about the book or about your organization.
Yes, you can. You know, the book is available anywhere in the bookstores in the world. You know, Barnes & Noble, Amazon, name any bookstore. But also you can follow us online, you know, nowimknown.com, or you can follow me as Peter Mutabazi, or Now I'm Known on YouTube, on Facebook, but also I'm known, I'm called Foster Dad Flipper. I flip houses so I can be a dad. So Foster Dad Flipper on Instagram, you can find us there as well. But the book is available anywhere. And if you get one, you really get to help me be a father to more kids, because I want to adopt more kids. I want to foster more kids. And that's the resource that will help me, you know, do the best I can to advocate for the most vulnerable.
Hey, Peter, thank you so much for sharing your story with us. It's such an inspirational story of God's redeeming work in your life. And thank you for spending some time with us. We really appreciate talking with you.
Well, thank you for making us seen, heard, and known. Thank you.